All right. Okay. Hello, hello. We're live with Ken Matthews and Conservative Mama on a beautiful, it's snowing here in Colorado on the 26th of January. Is it? Yes, it's gorgeous outside, Ken.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. That's a beautiful state. I want to get there sometime and check it out if I didn't have to deal with your corrupt.
I know, I'm sorry. People. Yeah. So we're live. It's January 26th.
Yes, and we're both wearing the same color, pretty much.
We planned it. We went twinsies today. It's super exciting.
Yes.
And here we are. We're recapping the week for you guys. Get in here. I know that we're on. I think we're on X and Rumble, so we can say whatever we want to say. But we do have to keep our clothes on. That's where you have to draw the line. So let's do this.
Obviously, you want clicks.
No, this is Conservative Mama.
It's Conservative Mama. It's the only show where the woman brings up the nudity first.
I know it was a joke. I don't know.
I'm a little triggered. That's why I have a therapist.
This is inappropriate. Okay, let's take it. Let's walk it back. Walk it back. Okay.
Okay.
Anyways, all right. So there's a lot going on. Ken is the expert on all of it. We're going to defer to Ken.
But I got to tell you, I love your latest Rumble sketches.
Oh.
They're on fire. And I know the one where you were talking. What was the topic? It was. Oh, yeah. You were doing a satire on people voting for Democrats and people being woke and everything. And it was awesome. And you have so many clicks on it, or views. Oh. Did you see how many views you have?
No, I haven't looked over there. I need to look over there.
If I had 100,000 views on anything, if my wife looked at me 100,000 times in 34 years of marriage, I'd be talking about it. Oh. 100,000 views. You're like,
well, we did. Stop it. We did the
superstar.
I did the MAGA Republicans where I played, because we're hearing that a lot, guys. Are we not hearing the MAGA extremists?
Oh, yeah, that's what you did. You did the MAGA Republicans, and then you reversed the satire on it.
And then I reversed it to Never Trumpers. I'm a Never Trumper, and here's why. And that I mean, oh my gosh, because I got on after New Hampshire, right? And we can talk, we're going to talk the border, too, because I know that's a hot issue. But I got on after New Hampshire, and I saw all the... And I know this is going to cause a lot of people to just lose it, but I like DeSantis. I have nothing against him. I kind of wanted to play it cool through the primary. I'm always attacking the left. That's just kind of how I've approached this whole thing, because I eventually we have to rally. And so I don't want to have to like go repair a bunch of damage and then rally. And it just saves me time. So I stay kind of cool. But it's time to get behind Trump. I mean,
that's
Trump's a good approach.
I'm being sarcastic. A bunch
of, the Never Trump. You know, we're Never Trump, Never Trumpers. I'll never vote Trump. I'll never do it. I can't. And I'm like, I don't think when you say that, I don't think people have a full understanding of like what you're saying. You're like, I'm gonna go full World Economic Forum. Let's eat bugs and know nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you're saying when you're saying Never Trump. You're saying you're all in on like the end of America, pretty much, and. And that's the truth, because at the rate we're going, like, it's just accelerating. And I only see a Trump at this point, because he's going to be the nominee, slowing this stuff down. So I was like, I got to come out and just do the Never Trump.
Well, you did it. And it killed. And I saw we had a nice response to this is the third time we've collaborated on the stream. And let me just say, I'm gonna ride on your coattails as long as I can.
No, stop it! I'm gonna ride on your stop. Knock it off. I like I've said before. I just love when you would fill in for Rush. I was always like, oh my gosh, it's Ken Matthews. This is awesome, and I think you've got a great sense of humor. And I want to point something out, because Tucker Carlson was in Canada speaking, and he said something that I'm like, I wish more conservatives would grab a hold of.
Okay.
Because we too many on the right play it so straight and so facts and so data. And this is when not realizing how many people are led by their emotions.
Right.
And so if you can incorporate humor If you can ridicule your enemies and
that's how we roll. You and I do that.
It's how it's done. That's how you win. That's how you take out your opponent, by ridicule and mocking the absurdity at what they are presenting. And that's what I believe in. I'm like, that's what we got to be doing. So that really hit me. I was like, thank you for saying that, because he's giant. And yep. That is a winning strategy. I wish when Trump rolls out ads, he should use humor. Use humor. I mean, people laugh at it, and then at the same time, they're like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be laughing, but it's true.
Well, that's Trump's whole thing. I mean, that's why he's such a brilliant communicator. People always, they hold up Reagan and they hold up Bill Clinton and Obama as these great orators.
Right.
Okay. All right. I used to teach public speaking. I get it. I get their structure and their form, the introduction, you know, the conclusion and the body and where you're going with this. And blah, blah, blah. But Trump is one of the best extemporaneous speakers in political history.
Right.
You can put up and I've been at speeches where I've been behind stage and in front of the stage with him, and the prompter's up there as a guide. He's one of the few people that just can fly off script.
Yes.
And people will laugh for 2 minutes.
Right.
Comedians long for a 2 minute laugh.
Yeah.
And Trump can say something, you know, he could say anything. Oh, you know, Nikki Haley, oh, you know, whatever. And then the punchline.
Uh-huh.
And then the audience is like, oh my God, it's so funny.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't believe Tucker can do that. I think Tucker can be funny, but I think Joe Rogan is extremely funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Alex Jones is extremely funny.
Yeah.
And
we gotta use humor. There's so much that they give us. The left is constantly gifting us material.
Yes.
I mean, I've been doing this for years, and it's like, and sometimes, like, I'm busy. I'm a mom. I got other stuff going on. And, like, I'll read something that they did or say something, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, if I had an hour or 30 minutes to go after this, because you just gave me such great stuff. It's constant. It's constant. So.
And the sound bites are constant, too. Like, I just played one of the dumbest Alyssa Milano sound bites ever, and that's saying a lot, because she's as dumb as a piece of wood.
What did she say?
Oh my God. It was something about, you know, first of all, it's a short and she's beautifully made up.
Yeah.
And I do think she's a good actress. I mean, you're not. I mean,
I mean, what's she drama? You know, she's
anyway,
sick. I wanted to be drama, but I was rejected on that front. That's a whole other story that I want.
We have to do a whole. We have to do a whole stream on how bitter we both are about our careers.
We should.
No, yes. It would be great. It would be great. Yes. I could just wail on syndicators and radio and how you know, and you could.
My time in Hollywood.
Yeah,
what I experienced, how I was rejected.
You know, you could say.
Okay, this is really quick, but I was doing a scene in a class in Hollywood
with
a great coach. Like he teaches Chekhov technique, which is just, it's like the whole emotion. And I wanted to be like a dramatic actress. Like that was I was going there to do that until like, it just got really ugly. But so I'm doing this dramatic scene and suddenly like these actors are laughing at me. They're laughing. And I'm like trying to play it straight. And they're laughing. And then Nikolai, the coach.
You gave his name away.
Yeah, he's Russian. He walks
out. Was he touching you inappropriately?
He was not touching me inappropriately. But he comes up to me and he says, Rachel, I don't know how to tell you, but you are funny. You are not straight. You're funny. You need to be funny. You need to be doing funny. And I was like, no, I was like, I am dramatic. Like I want to make people cry. He's like, you're not making people cry. You funny. you're funny. Even when you're serious, you're funny. And I'm like, no, it was like this moment for me. I was like, and I didn't, at the time, like I totally like would not receive that. Like I was like, no. And I continued on. And then all of this other stuff happened with California and Hollywood and all that. But years later, like it all clicked. I was like, oh my gosh. Like he was right. He was totally right. That's where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be, I play it straight and people think it's funny. It's
and like, the challenge for anybody who's good at communicating, the challenge is there's that critical part in your evolution of whatever you're doing where there are people that will lie and say, you know, Ken, you can't do talk radio.
Yeah.
Or you can't do morning drive on top 40 stations. Only blah, blah, blah. And then you have to decide, is it real? Am I really not? Or do you have to push through it? And what I find, and you're gonna like this because I think there's a spiritual component to the roads that you pursue in a career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And transitionally for me, the logical transition was going from very pop culture, which I excelled at and I made a good living at doing top 40 radio. I mean, you know, having on the celebrity guest, and I was just going through old interviews and I saw like Eddie Murphy and Jay Leno and Hillary Duff. I just saw Hillary Duff on a stream, on a friend stream. And but that there was something else going on in me. And the component that I think was missing from what I was doing is the truth. Because, you know, I would be the way you are now because you have four kids and the seven dogs and all that crap. The way you get frustrated because you see something, you go, oh man, I want to speak out on that. That's how I was in top 40 radio for almost 25 years. The first 25 years of my career, I was getting up at 3:30 in the morning and doing morning shows around the country, Cincinnati, you know, Charleston, South Carolina, Allentown, Pennsylvania, etc. Portland, Maine.
Right.
But all during that time, I'd be listening to the news guy in the other room. Mm. We'd go to a break.
Look, I'd like to say something about that. I have a comment.
Yes. Rachel.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But that's how you feel. Like, you're like, you know, like that. I want to say something. And so.
Yes, exactly. And then like, it really, you know, I met different presidents over the time. And when you meet people in a celebrity context versus a truth exposing context, they're very receptive to you.
Right.
Like the congressman that meets you when you're the top 40, you know, you're the number one top 40 guy. And hey, and you bring on, like, I brought on all these different, you know, I did crazy stuff with Eddie Money. I'm not going to say we were friends, but we did things like three or four times together. And he jokingly told me we had an outdoor music festival, and he was on my show and he was in studio, and he said, he used to call me Kenny. He goes, Kenny, why don't you come up on stage with us? And I said, can I play in the band? And he goes, what's your instrument? I said, it's a tuba, because I play the tuba on the sousaphone. He said, bring your tuba. You can jam with us. So I went to the local high school. This is, I'm a top 40 morning guy. I went to the local high school, which I had a great relationship with because I was a youth speaker for 20 years. I talked to high schools about gangs and drugs, and I worked with law enforcement, the DEA, blah, blah, blah.
You had like 1,000 different careers, Ken.
Well, that was this.
I did that too.
Well, this is still in the framework of being a radio personality. I was very involved. You know, I was like, the only reason I quit smoking, I used to smack, I didn't smoke smack. Or crack. But the reason
keep it clean, Ken.
I used to smoke 2 packs a day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And in 1991, my show took off in this one market, and they came to me, and I had the American Cancer Society on.
Yeah.
And they said, why don't you be our radio spokesperson in this market and be the honorary chairperson of the Great American Smokeout. Remember that? The Great American Smokeout Cancer Society. Yeah, to get people to quit.
Yes, people quit.
Yeah, so I quit. And for the last 30 years, I've been afraid to have another cigarette for fear that someone would see me
Okay.
And say, what a hypocrite. That guy was 10 years as the Great American Smokeout guy.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. So where were we going with this?
I don't know.
No, we were going somewhere. Hold on. It was actually leading. And I know you only have 38 more seconds.
But it
was going somewhere. Oh, the spiritual crossroads. I'm in the studios and I'm listening to, I've always been very competitive and I've always written jokes and scripts and timing and all that stuff. And I love music with a passion. By the way, did you get that Twitter thing I sent to you?
I did the piano.
Yeah. Did you play it?
I responded to you.
Oh, I didn't see it. I'm sorry.
No, it was in the messaging. I messaged you back.
I just thought it was stupid. It was a stupid idea. And I just thought, but see, that's how my mind works. When I started talk radio, you know how all these mornings, these music stations say more music, less talk, fewer commercials. Yeah. And on my show, it's no music, a lot of talk, no commercials.
You're like, maybe I should talk. I should do talk radio.
So I'm in the studio in the 90s, in the early 2000s, in the 80s. And, you know, all kinds of things are happening. There's Reaganomics and Clinton and blah, 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 blah. And I'm a music guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really want to get a piece of this. I want to weigh in on this, but you don't. And it wasn't anything to do with kissing butt, but you don't do that on music stations. I mean, the leftists do it. They get away with anything. Unfortunately, you can go to any major market right now, tune into a urban R&B black unquote station.
Yeah.
And their hate on Trump is so visceral.
Mm-hmm.
But we on the top 40, the countryside on those sides,
you're like, we're like, not discuss it.
Yeah. Well, and I understood that. I think, you know, if you have number one or number two audience in music, they don't want to hear about Clinton.
Yeah.
They'll go somewhere else.
But don't you? I mean, now it's totally different. Like, I mean, now wherever you go, I feel like you are getting inundated with politics. Like you can turn on ESPN.
But
you're watching some kind of sports game.
Yes.
Like, why are we talking about this? Like,
but think if you roll the clock back, I was still in the lane where I'm here to do music. I'm here to wake people up, direct them to the traffic.
Yeah.
I also did
get
a show.
Your day going.
Yeah. And for years I was number one among people 18 all the way up to 54. I mean, I was the rare thing, and I can't believe I'm talking about this, but I never talk about this. But I had that rare ability to mom and dad would listen, and it was okay for the kids to listen.
Yes.
And I would be out, and you know, a 40-year-old dad would bring his 9-year-old kid to get a photo with our mascot or me, because I think I was doing thoughtful, engaging stuff, but I wasn't throwing out a lot of controversy. Okay.
Right. Cool. So, quick question for you. Do you feel like, I mean, now that you've stepped out and you've been out of the closet as a conservative for a while now, but like, has there been like a rift with family and friends, and did the whole,
did that
impact your family? Did that impact?
No, the only thing, first of all, I've always been conservative. I've been in the NRA for 35 years. I'm a patron member, lifetime member. I've been an instructor. I'm very pro gun. I've always been a conservative. I was raised a conservative. My dad is to the point as a conservative where, I'm afraid what he says on the phone, 'cause I think I'm being tracked.
Yeah.
So
you're like,
he's 84 and I'm talking to my dad and he'll say, I'll say, yeah, that whole Biden thing. And he'll go, Dad, Efren, you know what I would do? I'm telling you right now, son, we need to call your brother. Let's get arrested. Dad, stop. Don't mention munitions.
Yes.
Do not stop.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, if I saw that son of a bitch, no. So that's how I was raised. So the conservative thing wasn't a bad thing. The only thing that telling the truth and wanting to tell more truth, it's not good for your career. I can tell you that right now.
No.
I can tell you that right now. When you're number one, top 40, and you're making good money and you're making the advertisers good money and you're endorsing products. I used to endorse all these different products and cars and just brand names and insurance companies and hospitals. And it's just, it's great. The right. minute you say, well, let's get to the truth. That vaccine doesn't work. Well, yeah. now your career is ended in the medical field. You cannot, mm-hmm. you won't be endorsing anything else there.
No.
And the minute you say, certain cars are getting recalled. Now yeah. you're out of the car game.
Okay.
But I felt a spiritual thing after my last successful run, which was a 15-year run as a morning guy in Allentown. It became spiritual because that's just as Obama was becoming big.
Okay.
And, you know, you'd hear the news clips and many people are saying Obama's going to be the next president. And I'd be in the music studio like, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? And then they started saying all these things about him. Now, what I'm doing in my personal life is researching and reading. And I'm hearing my news guy say, a former legal expert and professor. Oh, that's a lie.
You know, right.
Yeah. And I'm like,
no,
well, I got to talk about this. So every now and then I'd squeeze in a little jokey, but yeah. it just wasn't comfortable. I wanted to be at a place where I can just,
yeah,
you know, and so every single rhino, because I was always conservative. I was always family values. And that was my shtick on the air. I wasn't on doing Top 40 radio, making booby jokes. And
no.
it amazes me where radio is gone now that becomes a good, they call them bits. And you probably know this from acting. I can't believe that becomes good content saying, you know, last night I'm trying to get, you know, have sex with this girl. And I'm like, what, how does that appeal to,
right.
Who are you targeting?
Yeah. And who's in the car with you? I mean, you have to be aware of your audience. Like, yes. Whatever.
Yes. And so once I realized, when I returned to radio, and this was so, and I'm sorry the story's dragging on, but we do have 7 hours. I was out of radio for a brief time, and after these runs, understand, my wife and I got engaged in Maine, where I was doing a morning show.
Okay.
We didn't want to live together until we got married. I know that's good.
No, I like it.
Just really dumb. Anyway, so
I can't hear you. This happens every time. I still can't hear you. Can you guys hear him? Where is he? No, I can't hear you. Okay, if anyone's watching this, comment and see if you can hear us. I can't hear you. Let me see here. Ken, come in, Ken. I can't hear you. It's just going to be me now. Ken's going to be in silent. Did I press something? It says you're on mute. Hello. No. Can you guys hear me? We've lost all sound. No, I can't hear you. No, my volume's all the way up and it says you're on mute. Did you mute yourself? No. Oh no. Are we going to have to end this?
How about now?
Oh, now I can hear you.
What the heck is happening?
What was that?
I have no idea. The mute was stuck on. And you know what I'm thinking?
What?
I'm thinking because my wife has heard this story so many times. She's in her car, probably muting me.
Yeah.
So when, and I know you can appreciate this because I think that is the charm of your streams and your entertainment is you're not afraid to toggle back and forth between family or God or your kids or a typical day. And there's just not a lot of people that are creating informational content that have the ability to do that. And that's why for years, the nicest thing people said to me, especially in radio, is, oh my gosh, you sound and act exactly like you do on the air or on, I did cable TV or on the podcast. And that's the greatest thing you can tell me because I really don't turn, I don't have a persona for you listening or for you that I'm partnering with. What you see is what you get.
Right.
And so many people, and it'll come out in 2024, are not who they claim to be. But so I get engaged in Portland, Maine. It's going to be, we dated for a year. Then it's like 1989. And they didn't renew my contract. So they said, we're going to let you go. Well, actually, it was more like firing. But security wasn't called that time. No one called security that time. So we get engaged. I tell my wife, I just lost my job. So she's like, okay. Because she's not familiar with radio and television.
No.
And how effed up it is. Just like Hollywood.
Right. Right.
So I said, don't worry. I got two offers right now in the hopper. I'm going to move to South Carolina in a month.
Okay.
Said, what? So I moved to Charleston. And I said, oh, it's great. I got us a townhouse in Sullivan's Island near the beach. Oh, my God. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And so we moved all our crap down there. And then we said, well, have all our stuff down here. I lugged my piano down there.
Yeah.
Everything was down there. And then we continued to plan for the wedding. So she started to come down like every third weekend.
Okay.
Now she's working full time at the time.
Yeah.
She comes to visit me every third week. So we're pretty psyched. We go around Charleston. It's a lovely town. Then, let's see, 4 months into that, I get fired.
Oh.
So I call her back. Yeah. So then I said, don't worry. Don't worry. The station across the street offered to match my pay.
Yeah.
Because even in 4 months, I did pretty well. And they were like, wow, why don't we get that new guy that just went over there?
Yeah.
So I went over there and I interviewed with them. And I said, this is going to be great, baby. We don't even have to move. All I got to do is change the call letters and, you know, my tax form.
Yeah.
And then I got an offer from Cincinnati.
Oh, gosh.
And everybody in radio wants to work in Cincinnati because Les Nessman is there.
Yeah.
Do you remember KRP? You probably don't.
No, I don't.
That is such an old, old joke.
Okay.
Johnny Fever, Cincinnati, whatever.
Okay.
So I said, no, I'm going to go to Cincinnati. She goes, I thought we were going to. What? You've been fired twice in the last. What?
Yeah.
I said, no, I got to do it. I got to do it. It's just, it's for the best. Yeah.
Yes.
So now we've been engaged for less than a year. I've lost two jobs. I'm heading to Cincinnati and we have to move all the crap from. Okay. Then
I'm
we
sure
get
her
there.
Parents, I'm sure her parents are like, are you sure you want to do this? Or is this
so this, but this was all top 40. Yeah. So
right.
I did a show in Cincinnati, which I love the town. I thought it could be a little racist at times.
Okay.
Yeah. I was a little shocked by that.
Yeah.
I was there. Are you familiar with the Mapplethorpe exhibit?
No.
The Mapplethorpe exhibit was very controversial in 1990.
Okay.
And the conservatives came out and along with the Cincinnati law enforcement, and they shut down an art museum. They went in with no cause at all.
You're muted again, or something happened. No. I still can't hear you. Still can't hear you. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So long and short of it, we move to Cincinnati. We're there for a year. We're planning our wedding.
Right.
I get fired.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. In one, I had a 1 year option in a 2 year deal and we had a mutually agreed. It was kind of like, yeah, we don't like you. I don't like you either. Handshake. Take care.
Oh, wow.
So now I've moved her away from her family.
Crazy.
I'm laughing about it now because it was quite an adventure. And I was thinking what got me started, and it's your fault.
Okay.
Because you were talking about the Hollywood stuff.
Yes.
And what was going on in my head was
you. You decided to share your entire life story after that.
Well, yes. Yeah. I remember. I don't want to go back too far, everyone, but I just, when I was 3 years old. No.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I was thinking about you writing a book.
Me?
Yeah. I run into so many people that have written books, good books. And when you meet them, and I'm not saying this about you or me, but when you meet them, you go, you're the author.
Yeah.
Anybody can write a book.
Okay.
And every single author that I know, probably a dozen really good ones. They say anybody can write a book. And the only thing that keeps you from writing a book is you either don't want to, or you don't know how, just to put it all in words.
Right.
But just think about this conversation could have been a chapter of a little showbiz transition.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
You'll love this from show business. I sent out 138 audition tapes and I got three responses.
Yeah.
And two offers to give people an idea.
Yeah.
What dues paying looks like.
Yeah.
There I was in Cincinnati.
You get used to just hearing like rejection. No so much that you're just like, you become immune to it. And I think like that's what kind of like readied me for like the whole political world, because like I was used to like people just kind of like saying no and not liking you. And so, and I do feel like, I mean, there's a totally different route I could have gone. I could have not touched politics. I could have just stayed.
You could have just touched casting directors.
I could have just, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, say just like super like happy, bubbly. And I probably could have had a lot bigger following, but I do feel like I like the same thing you dealt with is like, I got to say something. Like I can't not say something. And to me, like what we're facing as a world right now, it's just so clear to me. And I feel like using like comedy or humor to enlighten people that can't see it. Like that's like my heart, you know, and whether, I mean, I don't know. And maybe God will open a door for something else and maybe I'll end all of this and go do something else. But like, this has been a season where I do feel like I'm supposed to do this.
Yes.
And I don't know how long it lasts or if, you know, if God's like, all right, we're moving on, you know, we'll decide. But I mean, it's hard not to say something, especially when you see all that's going on. And then you're like, well, if I would, and then you have this in the back of your head, like, if I don't say anything, like, am I responsible? Like, am I accountable?
See, right. You start looking back and saying, what if I bitch about this at home? It's so funny because once I got into talk radio, I stopped most of my bitching at home.
Yeah.
Because I was all bitched out.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
So I wouldn't be at the dinner table and saying, you know, they ought to indict this guy and this guy that it was gone.
Right.
But I used to be, I'd come home from doing top 40 radio, especially under Obamianism. And I was like, are you kidding me?
I know.
Are you kidding me? So anyway, let me go back to when I was 9 years old. No,
no, no,
no, no, no. I'm not. I'm just saying we left Cincinnati.
Yes.
We ended up, I got three offers. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina, and Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, Allentown's closest to her family, which just dragged her away from.
Yeah.
And it's a good market. It's a good sized market. It's 90 minutes from New York. It's an hour from Philly. I could go in there and try to rebuild my career. And, so my wife, the only thing she said, just promise me you'll last in a job for more than 2 years. Anywhere if you can just make it.
Yeah. Yes.
I promised her, and I had a 15-year run, very successful.
Wow, nice.
And then when that blew up, I said to her, I want to get into talk radio.
Okay.
And she said, so you want to go on AM radio stations and talk about politics with the money and what you were just doing in top 40. I said, yeah, I can't do it anymore. I can't keep my mouth shut. No. I said, what am I going to tell my kids?
Yeah.
If I'm bitching at home and I'm saying, and she would be, I would be bitching at home. And I don't know if you get this from your husband or not. She would say, well, do something about it.
Yeah.
Go run for office. If you do something about it, then stop bitching about it. I'm trying to watch a TV show. Stop bitching.
Right.
So I said, okay, I'm going to have my own talk show.
Yeah.
And then years later,
is like my, that's my way of doing something about it, is like making satirical videos, doing this, like speaking out, like that's my way. Cause I am frustrated. It's like, oh my gosh. And then you think about my children and then their future. And if I just stayed quiet and didn't do anything, then like, what am I leaving for them? I want them to be able to say, okay, at least mom tried, you know?
Yes. Yes.
She gave it a go. So, yeah.
And then two, when history, and this is deep, by the way, thanks to the Conservative Mama Stream audience for indulging me. I think because I don't go to a shrink. I haven't gone to a shrink in years, but I have.
Yeah.
And I think everybody should try it.
Well, there's this whole conversation on Twitter whether you should see a shrink or not. I don't know if you've seen it. It's kind
I
of.
I think a good. Have you ever been to one?
No.
A good honest therapist is, it's good stuff. Just because if you go to a shrink, or what I used to call a shrink, but I've been through some things. And if you go to a good, honest person, so you don't have to risk corrupting a current relationship. You don't have to go. I've never been one of these guys that, you know, I get in an argument with my wife, I have a few beers, and then I go and trash her at a bar, or I just don't do that.
No.
But in therapy,
you can be honest about what frustrates you.
You can be honest about anything. You can say, gosh, did I make a dumb move in my career? Or I don't know what to do with my son. He's doing this. You can't say that to your wife because then your wife's like, what is this guy not? Does he not know what the hell he's doing?
Yeah.
You know?
So
anyway, now this could be our therapy with an audience.
We gotta cover some things because there's a lot going on, Ken. This is like so
hit me.
New Hampshire happened. Nikki Haley's still staying in. Thoughts on that? Like, quick. What do you think?
She's staying in because of her ego, but more importantly, she's staying in because the consultants and the advisors are still making money and they want to milk it at least through the end of the month, maybe another state. She should not go to, she's going to lose in South Carolina.
Yeah.
If what she should have done is stepped out like Tim Scott and Vivek in New Hampshire, said, I don't want to spend any more of my donors' money. I'm going to support the Republican Party. We need to unite. But no, there's an ego there and it will be her demise.
Okay. Nice. And that, I think the same thing. I think that, and we can discuss this too really quick, is I think that I think that she's staying in because she thinks that the indictments could still happen or something could still happen there. And then she's got like the shoe in still. So I think like, I don't understand why she would still.
That's the ego part.
I think they're holding out for that. That's what I think.
Yeah. I think if he ends up in jail, he'll still get elected.
Yeah, I think so.
If it was a fair election.
If it's a fair election.
Yeah.
And he's got to be able to win the middle. Like, that's the big discussion right now, because you have the base, but the base cannot win solely. You can't solely win with the base. So what would you advise? How does he get that middle? You have to get the middle. You have to. And whether you like it or not.
One of the reasons I did that is such, and I'm not, this is not directed at you. It's directed at consultants, because consultants always say, you know, well, you can't just play to your base. You can't get all constitutionally and religious. You got to go to the middle. Right. And here's why I think that now in the 21st century is a flawed concept.
Okay.
Because for years, we've been misled about the facts of the population. We've been led to believe that everybody's in the middle. Everybody wants abortion. Everybody hates people with guns. So there's been a skewed game. So when we hear from 11 networks and they say, well, you know, Trump's problem is he's out there talking about deporting people. No one wants to deport people. No, the majority of Americans want a wall. The majority of the Americans are pro-gun. The majority of Americans worship God. The majority of Americans are anti-abortion. Those are the facts, whether lefties care or not. So if he starts moving to the middle, I don't think he should ever change his truth. It would be like you and me saying, look, we'd get more clicks if we just didn't talk about this and we just reviewed the Emmys.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah. No,
and,
that's true.
And I think he went, look at his numbers. Yeah. His numbers have already surpassed 2020 and 2016.
Right.
And he's facing a prison sentence.
Right. Right.
And look at how bad Biden's doing.
The consultants would argue, they'd say, Ken, you know, like he can't, it's got, he's got to get those suburban moms, right? That they're concerned.
He already has them.
But they're concerned about the border. They're concerned about the economy. They're concerned about how these high everything's high prices. If they're doing buying the groceries, they're concerned about it, just yep. like I am. But they don't like the Trump's name calling. They don't like him. You know, they can't stand all that. So they're like, I might just vote third party. What prevents them from voting third party or going Trump? Like what?
I think that's a good question. But again, I'm going to fall back on the fact that we've had so much bad data.
Right.
I don't think there's enough third party people. I think mom or dad is at the PTA meeting and they're saying, oh, I'm going to vote third party. I just can't stand Trump anymore. And then right. they vote for Trump.
Right.
Because they had it good under Trump and they know Trump is the guy. Right. This is such a misconception of there's really nothing he's doing wrong for the country other right. than pissing liberals off.
Right.
Really. There's nothing you could say. Well, the profanity, I can't have my kid listening right. to that. Oh, yeah. He's in his room downloading porn and you're pissed that he's calling people names on the campaign trail. Wake up. Right. I don't think there's enough people.
That's where I'm hung. I mean, I don't care. Like, I'm not, like, I vote on policy. Like, I don't care. I don't even have to like you. I just have to like your policies and I'm going to vote for you.
Well, that's why I'm on the show.
Right.
You don't have to like someone on the show.
But that's where I stand on stuff. But getting that person that's emotionally led, that's emotional, that's like, you know, the border is a concern. And I don't know why Biden's keeping that border open. That doesn't make sense to me. And it was nice under Trump, but you know, he says these things and I'm like, how do we get those people? Like we have to get those people. And that's where I'm at. Like that is my concern. My concern is that he's got to move a little bit more, not on your values or your principles or where you stand. You never compromise that.
I think this is where his team needs to be.
Yeah.
The team and the marketing, you can shift that around, but the mistake, see consultants again, they are, most consultants are pariahs and whores.
Right.
And we know that whether they're in Hollywood or in construction or that most consultants show up and say, let me see your watch. Okay. Here's what time it is.
Right.
Well, why didn't you just tell me how to use the watch? I mean,
yeah.
So consultants make money off losers and winners. They don't care. They don't care.
No.
So as far as the messaging goes, like today, a great bit of messaging for you, which you'll love. You know, there's 25 states,
yes.
25 governors that are now standing with Texas.
Yes.
So that's 25 plus one. That's more than half the states in America are like, shut the friggin' border.
Right.
And I think that resonates. And they're finally showing more media of the hordes of people pouring right. into our country.
Right.
So it isn't a racist thing. It's
no.
not. It's a logistics thing.
Right.
We are being invaded. And yes. people with a brain say, close the door.
Right.
And. Right. We're in the majority.
And if you're Trump's team, like this is where you come in with and you play on the emotion, right? You play on the emotion of your average middle American mom, suburban housewife. That's like, this is a concern. You show all the people that have died from fentanyl. Like it's not, I know a mother that her daughter had anxiety for tests here in Colorado. She thought she was getting some kind of like a pill that calms your anxiety. I don't mm-hmm. What was it?
I just went mm-hmm.
Yeah, like.
But I'm glad you think I know all the drugs. I'm at like Xanax or something.
Xanax. Yeah, she thought she was taking it. She thought she was taking a Xanax, and it was laced with fentanyl, and she dropped dead.
Oh my God.
In the school. Yes. Like, this is, and the media downplays how much this is happening to our youth. Another parent walked in and found their child studying, and they thought it was like an Adderall or something like that, laced with fentanyl, died, yeah. Found them dead in their room. Like, this is a huge deal. All of the sex trafficking of children that's taking place, play on that, man. It is horrible. The drug cartels.
Drugs are so part of trafficking,
right?
Because most children, little boys, little girls, most adult women that are trafficked, they are drugged.
Yeah.
They're addicted.
Yes.
And their addiction is what helps keep them prisoner. Ugh. The other thing, if you look at the major cities, people are awake to this now. Look at New York. There are liberals in New York that are just losing it.
Right.
There are so many people coming forward. Even there are actors and actresses that they're finally coming out and saying, my God, Trump was right. Mm-hmm. I hate to admit it, but he was right.
Right.
That's another way we move the dial.
Right.
But you talk about middle America, Chicago, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, and other cities are filled with illegal foreign nationals in these people's schools.
Right.
They're paying taxes. And the classroom was 42 kids. Now it's 73 kids, and they're paying for a translator.
Right.
I don't think the urban mom is really the hard vote anymore.
Right.
I don't think that's the hard one to get anymore.
I think this moment right now that we're in is opening people's eyes. I really do.
And I
think if you're the Trump campaign, if you're on Trump's team, you really run with this. You push it. You expose it. You call it out. I mean, even Denver Health, which is a huge hospital downtown Denver, is going bankrupt. They're $300 million in debt, and because of one third of their bills have not been paid, and it's because of illegal immigrants.
Now, see, that right there is one of those beefy nuggets of truth that's not getting out.
Yes, and it's insane. Push that, but really talk to these people that have lost their kids to fentanyl or kids that have been trafficked. It's inhumane to keep a border open. It's inhumane to invite people to cross a desert, to expose them to drug cartels, to expose them to sex traffickers, to expose them to all the horribleness to get to America. That's inhumane. That's evil. And so if you care about those people and you care about the people inside of America, you secure the border. You secure the border. It's just so clear to me. That's what you do if you care. And you ask the people that want to come here, we want you, but you got to come the right way. You got to come the safe way. You got to come the safe way. That's the only way you can come. That's the only way you should be coming, because we don't want to put you in danger. It's just
so many of the arguments from the left, as you know, are built on fallacy. They're built purely on emotion and then fake, you know, whatever, fake news, fake facts. The whole climate crisis is a farce. There is no climate crisis.
Right.
There is no, oh my God, the weather's going to kill us all. No, it's not. And the entire illegal foreign national thing is built on emotion.
Mm-hmm.
They brought racism into it and all this garbage. And the bottom line is that you just say to the liberal couple, when you go out at night, do you leave your doors unlocked?
Right.
Why not?
Right.
I see you've got a nice Porsche there. Why don't you just park it in the driveway? Well, I can't park it in the driveway.
Right.
But you want the rest of America to leave their doors open. Right. You're okay.
Yeah. That's exactly what I said. I actually put a video up on Instagram talking about that there. I said, I lock my doors at night, not because I don't like my neighbors. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm locking my doors because I can't stand any of you. I'm locking the doors because I love the people in my home and I want to make sure they're safe. And you just don't let anyone walk into your house. If my doorbell rings right now and some guy's like, hey, I need to come in. I'd be like, who are you? Why do you need to come in? What's your purpose? I would verify who this person is before I let them into my home.
Like, I know there's no logic to most liberal arguments. And this is the most frustrating thing. Now, let's get back to Trump, because keep in mind that if you've ever been to a rally, you have. Oh, you know what? We need to show this picture. This woman's a superstar.
No, and
she hid this from me. And how long have we known each other? 6 months? Year?
A while. A really long. Okay. We go way back.
Well, and she has been holding out. Look at this photo that she's about to show you of her two lovely children.
That's my daughter.
That's the president of the United States.
And that's my nephew.
Yeah.
In his arms. And that's me in the background. I look super geeky. And I'm like,
yeah, so the president, excited. The greatest president we've ever had is kissing her child.
Yeah.
And she's right there. And notice he's kissing her hat from the back.
Oh.
Period. End of subject.
Yeah, it's so sweet. And but I mean, and that meme that it's been turned into memes, you see now, like, because at that point, then the crowd after he did that, the crowd just went crazy. So then everybody started screaming and cheering. And then they got scared. Like Evelyn got scared and Kellen, they got scared. And so they started crying because they're like, where's mom? Where's mom? Where's our moms? And then the media started flashing Trump
and
holding.
Crying babies,
they were happy at first. So.
What a perfect example to what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
So the reality is, you know, you were there.
Yeah.
When you listen, like I listen to Right Side Broadcasting because they're the only platform, even beyond Newsmax, they're the only people that run the rally from start to finish.
Yeah.
His entire speech.
Yeah.
And what do Americans hear? An off the cuff remark or 13 seconds of an hour of him really talking intelligent policy.
Yeah.
Like he really knows his stuff and it's common sense. Like the fact that the wall was almost built.
Mm-hmm.
He had all this equipment and stuff ready to finish the wall in his next term, which he won. Yeah.
Right.
And it was all paid for. Plus, we had $2 billion left in the fund. Joe Biden comes in on day one, cancels all the contracts. See, this is another tidbit that people need to know about. He canceled the contracts. When you cancel a government contract, you have to pay a penalty every day for the length of the contract.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. So Joe Biden said, no more building on the wall. And the people that made the contract said, you got to pay us $1 million a day because you promised you were going to. So Joe Biden comes in, starts pooping money away.
Wow.
Nothing's getting done. And then even worse, he sells all the elements of the wall, the steel and the other components, for 80% off.
Wow.
To make up for the money he paid in penalties.
Wow.
So it'd be like someone shows up at your house. You've got a beautiful home built. It's almost finished. And then they say, don't put the roof on. Why not? It's almost finished. In fact, sell all the stuff from the roof. Let it rain. That's what happened to the wall.
Wow.
And that's
the walls don't work, Ken. That's what they always the walls don't work. And then I'm like, what are we dealing with here?
Yeah.
Well, if walls don't work, then why are there walls around everything that needs to be fortified? Everything.
Yes. In fact, I put a wall around my heart. Because I'm just worried about liberals.
Protect it. Guard your heart. That's actually what you're supposed to guard your heart.
Carrie Lake.
Oh.
The biggest story of the week, in my humble opinion, and I know we only have a few minutes left. You got a lot going on today. Got a crazy schedule. And if you want, before I forget, please send me that picture. So the next time I promote, I'm going to be on your show. I can say, this woman who stood next to the president.
I actually have it. I have a selfie with the president.
Oh, God, you're such a show off.
I have it. I'll have to show you that. Let me show you.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I don't know if let's see if I still have.
And where was this in Colorado?
This was in Colorado, right outside of Air Force One. I went and saw him and I was invited to come.
Nice.
And
nice.
So
this was before or after you were put on the FBI's list as a stalker of the president?
No.
Okay.
Gosh, where is it? Let me see it.
Well, while you're looking for that, I'll explain that Carrie Lake exposing You know about the GOP
yes.
chair.
See, and that this is okay.
Was,
yeah.
That was the greatest tape. And I'm so glad the GOP is exposed now at the top levels because so yes. many of them are selling out. And the fact that it was like a mob offer when he said, you know, the people back east, they just don't want you in the race. They want you to, and here's what we're willing to do. And then to hear Carrie Lake say, well, you can go tell them to F off. They're right. going to have to kill me because I'm staying in the race because it's the right thing to do. We're not going to let a bunch of globalists run our country. And I'm tired of them destroying Trump. Right. That will get her elected to the Senate. That little piece. But to me, that was such a big story. And
it was
so,
a big story. The only yeah. thing that I have to say is like, because I know some people on the ground there and they're saying that's not the full story.
Are so they like, saying that it was set up? Like,
I'm
who,
hearing,
who set up
I'm,
who?
Okay, I'm hearing a lot of different stuff. So I don't feel like I should talk yet, but I'm hearing that that's not the full story.
Okay, well, then when
out,
you...
It might come out with a full story.
When you get but, the yeah. truth, let me know because I want right. to correct it. But they what I heard know. What I heard fits every single story right. that I have heard.
And right, I've, and what's been presented so far is her side of the story. And that's that. And people are like, it's, you know, it's not edited. That's what it is. And I'm hearing other things. So I'm like...
The reason I'm like 95% on her side with this. The reason right. is I've spoken to people in Pennsylvania politics and they've shared with me in strict confidence. That's exactly what happens.
Okay.
And that's what happened to them.
Okay.
They want to run for Congress and someone will say, no, it's not your turn.
I'm
and they'll
sure.
say, what do you mean? It's not my turn. I think I can win. Well, we don't like your views on this. And you say, well, right. who are you? And they right. say, we're the GOP of Pennsylvania or Ohio or whatever, and we will destroy your marketing. We won't give you a dime. We'll right. undermine you, and you'll never have our support ever unless you play by our rules. And that's both the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. So I tend to agree. But what right. even what I said when I first ran that soundbite, I said, I wonder... Who was taping who? Did Carrie bring the tape knowing she was going to be bribed?
She was taping.
And as she should have been. I love the fact that she was eating.
Yeah.
Because it made it very authentic that she was like eating a taco and she was chewing and talking
right.
at the same time.
Right. Right. And I like Carrie Lake. I like her. I just know stuff that I'm not supposed to share, so I have to keep quiet. I have to wait.
Okay, so now you sound like one of those, you know.
No. I think people, if someone shares something with me in confidence.
Oh, I agree. No, I'm just
questioning. Then I can't betray a confidence, right? Like,
No, I agree. That's not right. If I was willing to do that, we would both have more clicks. If we were both willing to do that.
Right.
If I was willing to, if I said right now, you're not going to believe the chief of staff who called me 3 months ago of such and such a, and said, you know, this, they, right. if I just started spewing,
right.
I would never, ever, no one would ever pick up the phone.
No,
you may not after this stream, but no one would ever pick up the phone when I called and said,
right.
like I had inside stuff on Mike Johnson.
Did
long
you?
Before he started selling us out. And yeah. they told me, you cannot mention this. They just said in the exact quote was, wait, he's gonna F us soon. And then right. you could start going after him. And it was so predictive.
Well, today, did you hear that he turned down he said that the new funding for Ukraine that passed through the Senate will not go through the House. That's actually positive. Cause I'm like, here you go. I actually posted this on my Instagram. Oh, that's me. Okay. Oh, you're muted again. I can't hear you. Still can't hear you.
Yeah, how about now?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Okay. Bring the picture up a little. No, up. There you go. Okay, yeah, that's you. All right.
Yeah, that's me.
Wow, that's a great shot.
Yeah.
It's like you're dating him.
No,
I mean, that's what it looks like.
That was a while ago. It was a while ago. It was back in 2020, maybe.
What a while ago. Friggin' star yeah. celebrity.
I was with the whole Trump stuff. Okay, in 2016, like when he was running, just like without the RNC really involvement, it was much more grassroots, fly by the seat of your pants.
He was much more approachable.
Yeah. It was just much more. And, you know, then he won, and thank God he won. And then 2020, then it was a little bit more rigid. It was not as, because you, like you said, all the consultants come in, all the advisors. Yeah.
He goes from being Donald Trump, media star, very likable guy, as you know. I mean,
oh yeah, very friendly.
His personality is, and I think that's why people hate him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., Alveda King, she comes out and says, I just met with President Trump for an hour, and I think he's one of the most spiritual men. And my uncle would be so proud of what he's done for the Black community. And it's like, that's the type of personality he has.
Mm-hmm. What's presented by the media is totally different than like what you see behind the scenes or what you encounter yourself. It's like, oh, well, this is not.
Well, like you said, with the baby thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, everything was fine, and then the crowd erupted, and she started crying. Which, I mean, naturally you would as a baby if it's like insane, and you know how packed it is at these
events. I've been wondering, and I'm not going to call child services. Don't worry, but I've been wondering, why did you take your babies to that environment?
Because she was.
Oh, never mind. Props.
No, she was still nursing. I'm a nursing mother. And it was a last minute thing. They're like, hey, we got you into the Trump rally. Can you go? And I was like,
as long as I can walk around with my baby on my breast, so I know like, I'll be able to, I know I I'll can meet go. Trump. I know I can meet Trump then.
Yeah. So anyways, that's how that went. But that was years ago. I feel like that was, now she's going to be 8 soon. So that was a long time ago. It's just crazy how fast time goes and all that's happened, man.
I know there's so much that happened in such it's kind of like this stream.
Yeah.
So, but really
all we've covered. Last thing before we like, I want to know what you think, because it's kind of come up. There's been a lot of discussion. Well, we talk about the border enough? Because I feel like people are.
Oh, yeah.
We'll kind of like, you know, we're going to see what happens here with the whole border. I feel this just came in. Governor Abbott said in an interview with Tucker Carlson that he expects more states to send their National Guard.
Yep.
They're not standing down. And he said he does expect there could be a conflict. So this is like kind of like a historical moment taking place right now. State versus federal government.
You bring that up. You know who Michael Savage is?
Yeah.
He recently spoke to a Navy SEAL. There's a whole bunch of Navy SEALs that have podcasts and stuff, and they have great boots on the ground experience. And he asked point blank, do you think the American military... And these are the type of big boy and big girl questions that we need to discuss, especially this year. You and I talked about this off the air, too.
Right.
Do you think the U.S. military would turn on the Americans? And we are approaching that point, because if Joe Biden activates the Texas National Guard, right now the Texas National Guard is under the command of the governor. That's how the Constitution is written.
Right.
Unless the President of the United States, who's the commander in chief of the entire military, makes them active duty. Then they're under that other command.
Right.
Now, if we start getting into rank pulling, you're going to have middle commanders having to make soul searching decisions. Do I block the border of my home?
Right.
So it's not invaded.
Right.
And violate a presidential edict, or do I go against the people in my community? And I think this is what dictators do. Mm-hmm. They put powerful people and powerful entities in, they force them into decisions, mm-hmm, where they have to decide. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how the cartel works. The cartel does that. That's why the majority of law enforcement in Mexico, especially on the border, is on the take.
Well, it's like a Sophie's Choice type thing. You know what I'm saying? That movie?
Yes.
It's like which daughter or which child are you sending off to the concentration camps? Like, this shouldn't even be happening. Like, it doesn't even need to happen. Like,
Biden created this. Obama's created this.
Yep.
This is by design. And this is what every single dictator and totalitarian government did throughout history, world history, and even our government. It's designed to make good people doubt themselves. And, you know, we're playing catch up. They've been at this for a long time.
Right.
We're playing catch up. Now you've got people where the cartel will say, look, you need to look the other way. We're going to put the loads through your district. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, we're going to kill your daughter. Mm-hmm. Here's a picture of her school.
Yeah.
And to me, this is a version of that. When they say, you're going to make sure that everybody in your platoon gets the booster shot and reports to Texas to remove the barbed wire, or your Army career that you've been involved in for 16 years is over.
Well, are there legal consequences? Let's say you're a part of the Texas National Guard. And what I read something. I don't know if this is factual or not. So if you way more than I do about this stuff. So I heard, where is it? The Texas National Guard and State Guard are separate entities. Is that true? And Biden could federalize the Texas National Guard and deploy them hold on. But there's two different. There's a state National Guard and a Texas National Guard. Is that correct? You know that, or am I just?
Texas may have something because of the way that state came about.
Right. Okay.
They may have something that is territorial, like Arizona is a territory.
Right.
And they have all these fragmented governments. But they have to follow the state constitution. Right. I don't know. Yeah. I just know that the president can activate the National Guard.
Right.
And now, you know, what's called the weekend warrior. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense at all, because a lot of National Guard were overseas. But now the weekend warrior, he's now under the control of a guy who is enabling the invasion. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you can turn down an unlawful order.
Right.
Just like
you can. Like, yes. So that was my question. Like, say you're part of the Texas National Guard.
Yep.
You're totally supporting securing the border. I mean, you're like, that's what this needs to happen. This has gotten out of control. We need to protect Americans. We need to protect American soil. We have to have a border. So you're all in this. And then you get called back by Biden. Now, if you're one of those guards and you're like, I can't do that. Like, I honestly, in good conscience, this is wrong. Like, are there legal consequences if they refuse to obey the president?
Well, first of all, it depends on their rank and the influence they have denying the order. And then you have to prove it's an unlawful order.
Okay.
I mean, there's people that have died over this over the years. It's that you get court-martialed.
Right.
I mean, it's bad. The whole military runs on chain of command, and you pray that people in charge are good, honorable men and women.
Right.
But the military is such a different animal. And see, Obama knows this and knew this, and this crap started with Obama.
Degrading of our military. He's behind the scenes right now on all this.
Yeah, I mean, all this stuff they're piping and pumping into the military is designed to weaken it. We're at the lowest recruitment rate. We've had the most early retirements. We're at the lowest readiness rate.
Wow.
Our military was designed to fight a two-front war. That was the model since World War II. We were fighting the Japanese in the Pacific theater, the Nazis in the European theater. We were so big and badass by 1945.
Right.
And it's slowly been evolving, and the globalists and the leftists want to weaken our ability to protect ourselves. and overextend us into other countries. That's why we're we have a ammunition shortage in the military right now.
Wow.
Because we've sent millions of rounds to Ukraine.
Right.
So there's so they've put all these men and women in the military in these awkward situations, like to get the vax or not to get the vax. Do I follow the man in a skirt when he tells me attack?
Right.
I mean, dude, how can you read a map? You don't even know what your junk is.
Right. It's got
it's designed to confuse a system that used to be crystal clear. It used to be crystal clear. That's an unlawful order or whatever, or that's an ethical man, whatever. What do you do if you're a colonel with 30 years in and you've got a great retirement and future, and the general says, look, start locking up, you know, Rachel and everybody else that's online.
Wow.
They're insurrectionist. What do you do?
Right. Gosh. It's so sad we're here. Like, it's so sad that this is just...
You mean on the stream or...
No, that's just like, this is like, how did we get here? Like, you know what I'm saying? And what baffles me is the people that still can't see it.
It was one piece at a time.
Yeah.
That's how we got here. A little bit. I mean, 30 years ago, you know, I remember the whole gay thing when it started to really ramp up under Hillary and Clinton. The whole gay stuff. We were coming off of, you know, the decade of AIDS.
Right.
And there was just a very transitional time in this country culturally. Mm. And piece by piece.
Yep.
You know, they started putting in laws and they said, well, we need to put this in the Constitution. Mm-hmm. We need to amend this. And we would say on the conservative side, you know what this is going to lead to? One day you're going to have men in drag forcing your student to call them ma'am.
Yeah. And they were like, that's crazy. That'll never happen. They're nuts.
How did they groom us? They groomed us with mass marketing and media, Mrs. Doubtfire and Klinger. Mm-hmm. And they just groomed us into normalizing the most bizarre things where we now debate pronouns. And we now
debate the most basic fundamental, like gender. Like, it is so clear. Male, female, like man, woman. And the fact that we're even debating this as a society, like I told my husband, I go generations from now, if it all just doesn't come imploding down, they're going to look back on this time and be like, what was like,
now your husband,
they didn't know the difference between a man and a woman. Like
he's biological man, right?
Yes.
My wife's a biological woman.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that's what a woman is.
I was there when the mammals came out.
Okay, good. Like, it's just crazy. It's just, I don't know.
It's ridiculous. And then the other thing, and we used to talk about, because it was Reagan that first opened up the borders with the amnesty. And people forget that.
Yeah, I know. That's
because he wanted to be a good guy, and they and his advisors pushed him into it, and they guilted him into it. And, you know, he was from the Southwest, or he spent a lot of time in the Southwest. He was like, well, you know, these people are doing, I mean, we need these people and we need it. Why? But anyway, now what is the debate? The debate is, how soon can an illegal foreign national get a driver's license and register
to vote
for the election this fall?
Yeah. That's what they,
how did we go from you're invading our country illegally? How can we help you?
Right.
How can
we help you, and you can vote for the next leader of our country? Like, that's,
and
just
they demand it. They're demanding it. You've seen if you've seen those viral videos of the illegal foreign nationals, and I'm not really impressed with this hotel they put me in. They're paying for it.
I know. They're not even.
We only get housekeeping once a week. Then clean the bed yourself.
Yeah. And how distorted the American dream has become, because the American dream used to be like, you come here with nothing, right? I mean, like my great grandparents, you come here with like nothing to your name, nothing in your pocket. You pull yourself up, you make a way, you work, and you begin to thrive. Like, after busting it for years and years and years, now it's people coming over and just Well, give it to me. This is what I want. Yep. I want this. I want this. I want this. I want this. It's not the American dream. And that's the problem, because once you start to see people that don't have the vision of the American dream, they don't have the vision for America. There's no loyalty to America. There's no patriotism for America. They don't care about America. When you begin to inundate a country with people that have no affinity for the country that they're coming to, that's when you start to see like the complete downfall of a country. I mean, you have to have people that love this country, that respect the laws, that are coming here legally, that are willing to work and contribute because they love this place. They love America.
Once people realize everything you're just talking about is intentional.
Yeah.
And it's by people on our side, in our government.
Yeah.
They're enabling this.
Yes.
They enable Republicans and Democrats allow illegals to have driver's licenses and vote in San Francisco and New York City.
Right.
They've enabled it because they know it's going to cause these cultural and economic cracks.
Yep.
And as pieces of our country break apart over these things, now the controllers, they see how weak. That's why it was so exciting about 25 governors backing up Texas. That's a big deal.
That's a good sign. I mean, we have to stand together. Well, united we stand, divided we fall. Like, we have to unite as a country and say, no, we're a country. We have to secure our border. We have to protect Americans. That's what we are. That's our job. That's our job. Biden is failing to do his job.
And you know what? I just want to point out the time. You got
to
go.
I know. I have to go. Also, I want to know your opinion really quick, because we saw it a lot in the news, and I was going to say this earlier. Michelle Obama jumping in. What are your thoughts? Is that going to happen, or is that just to scare everyone?
I heard that 2 years ago from reliable people. I wouldn't be surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's some type of process, and I'm not familiar with how it works.
Yeah.
With appointments and temporary things, and there's something transitional that goes on during a campaign when someone steps out that's in office, and I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but there is a legal way that she could be inserted temporarily, and that's the fear everybody has. Okay. So
she wouldn't go through the convention process and all of that.
Oh, no.
Okay, it would just be
I think it would be just all legal levers where a sitting president who's also the leader of the party
that
he's leading in his party, he gets sick or he has to leave.
Yeah.
Now Kamala moves up. I believe she gets to appoint her vice president. I'm not sure on that, but I think that's the legal lever.
Right. And remember the argument, like Trump and DeSantis couldn't both be on the same ticket because they're both from the same state.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the same for Newsom and Kamala? So then, because I mean, you see Newsom all over the place. I mean, I think he's in South Carolina right now campaigning.
What ticket do you think Newsom would? I mean, who would be on his ticket? Do you think he'd pick?
Well, I'm wondering if they're saying like then Kamala would step up and she'd tap Newsom, but then the conflict is they're both from California. So then,
yeah, no, I'm saying she would tap
Michelle. So then you have Michelle Obama and Kamala Harris. I mean, can you?
You know, it would be two snaps and a swirl, girl.
No, I mean,
well, like, I will say this. Michelle, I think
what do either of those people have any experience, any knowledge?
Well, I don't think anything. Well, to give Michelle credit, she's smart. She is smart. Kamala, dumb as a stump.
What qualifies her to run a country?
She's a globalist. She's a socialist. She's a black woman. There it is.
I know, but like, if anyone just is thinking, what qualifies this individual? Has she ever signed the front, you know, the back of the front of a paycheck? Does she have any experience running organizations? Because you're running a country, right? Like, running a
huge. Well, they're going to say she's a law. You know, she has a law degree. She's a lawyer, and then she ran fundraising thing. She was very active in Chicago politics, the swamp of Chicago. I mean, she has all these little pieces that look great on a resume, but in the real world, it's like, this is just a bunch of glad handing and networking because right. you're willing to do anything to right. get power.
Right.
It's like Obama. They say Obama, the former attorney, how long did he work as an attorney? 5 minutes.
And he was like a state senator for like a day or one term state senator and then one term Senate. And then he's president of the United States.
And once you're president, you can make anything up you want because you control right. you control the information flow. You control history. So once right. you're president, you can say things like, you know, when I was a law professor, yeah. he was a part-time adjunct. Mm-hmm. He was an yeah. attorney.
Right.
That would like when I used to be a part-time teacher of public speaking, I was yeah. a radio guy that made extra money.
Yeah.
Teaching skills. And he was an attorney that he wasn't a professor.
No, I know. I don't know. It's going to get interesting. After watching Biden talk this last week, I had a great idea for a satirical video. It would be the interpreter for Biden. Like he mumbles and then this.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, since
he's trying to say he can't talk at this point. Like it's like I don't even. So I don't. They have got to have a plan in place. And I just it's trying to.
I've been writing.
What the plan is.
I've been writing a lot of music lately. And I was thinking I'm working on one about Biden.
Yeah.
Some like Joe Biden. He's a man. Wait a second. Oh yeah. Joe Biden is a man that showered with his daughter. When he got caught, he blamed it on the water. Joe Biden. What do you think? See, he blamed it on the water because they blame everything.
I mean,
I didn't mean to shower with her.
Oh, my God.
I needed a shower. I didn't know she was in there.
I didn't know
Joe Biden. Joe Biden. Joe and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of... I'm working on it. It's going to be good, though. Yeah.
Well, wasn't Jill Biden his babysitter? Isn't that how
it yeah.
Was? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's when they started.
Yeah.
That's when they started. I, you know, as a father, we had, and I remember back when I was two. No.
Let's go back to the time you were two, Ken. Let's talk about it.
I remember if we had babysitters.
Yeah. Yes.
And we had like we had a nanny for a brief time. We had a nanny because both my wife and I worked.
Yeah.
And they were college chicks.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Smart young women. You know, one of them was an athlete, etc. And I can only imagine if I had a picture of the 21-year-old college chick working on her PhD that babysat for my kids, sitting on my lap.
Like
well,
what?
I wouldn't be here.
You wouldn't be here.
I'd be digging the bullet from my wife's gun out of my head.
Like, I just don't.
But think about that.
I know.
Think about that.
I know.
I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Who does that? Who says, come on over here, you babysitter. You sit right here.
And then he ends up marrying her.
Yeah.
After his wife dies.
I got to put that in the song.
Yeah, hey, you got to incorporate her sitting on your lap. What line rhymes with lap?
Hey, babysitter, don't be a quitter. Don't take
it on my lap. I'll give you a slap.
Oh, yes, the slap.
Something like that. I don't know.
Come on, let me see. Come on, sit on my lap. I'll give you a slap.
That's so bad.
And then he says to his kids, don't give me no crap. She's on my lap. I don't know. We gotta work on it.
We'll work on it. Let's come back and do a whole show on you. The babysitter. That's your song.
I'm being very conscientious. I don't want you to be late.
I know. Okay.
You're gonna be late.
We'll wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in. For those of you.
Thank you.
That joined us, that you can always watch the reboot, the replay. And then I also posted on Podbean which is like just a podcast. So if you just, you can't sit and listen. Sometimes I like to walk around and I get housework done or whatever, and I can listen. I listen to podcasts that way. Ken, where can people reach you? Where can they find you?
You can find me at kenmatthewsmedia.com.
Okay.
And then of course I'm on Rumble with the superstar here.
Stop it.
Just go to Rumble and search Ken Matthews, one word. And then if you go over to Conservative Mama, you'll see her fan base is like huge.
No, it's not. It's not huge. It's not that big. I'm slowly growing on Rumble.
Once those pictures of you and the president and your kids get out.
Okay.
Seriously, I can't believe you're holding that from me.
Stop it. And then to my supporters, I have a Patreon page. I would love your support. If you like the satire, if you like the comedy, if you believe that that's a great way to reach people, please support me. That'd be awesome. I'm just Conservative Mama on Patreon. All right, you guys, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you. God bless. We'll have a great weekend.
Yeah. Have a great weekend. See you later.